Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Monday, December 21st, 2020 edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is an absolute pleasure to be on the airwaves speaking with the good people of Mitten, Michigan, or wherever you may be listening right now, because of course, you know, good old technology here in 2020, soon to be 2021. I mean, we can broadcast from anywhere. You can listen from anywhere due to the internet. So wherever you are listening right now, we thank you so much. And I know many of you right now are on vacation. I want to give a big shout out, especially to all the teachers out there. All of the teachers out there who now have some time to rest and take a deep breath and decompress a bit because of how wild this year has been. You having to teach virtually with the constant Zoom calls to students, you get a chance to max tax and relax for a bit and rev up for what will hopefully be, no, it will be, speak it into existence, a better 2021, right? So a big shout out to all the teachers out there. You deserve a break. All those who are just grinding on the daily, who will be taking some time off for the holidays, shout out to you. And a big, big, big shout out. The biggest shout out goes to all of those on the front lines, all of our medical workers right now who will be working throughout the holidays and into the, you know, foreseeable future as we try and battle through this thing that we call a pandemic, COVID-19. It has been a trying year, and you all have been right there making sure that patients who have been diagnosed with COVID-19 and who are in some really tough conditions get the care that they need, all right? Putting yourself at risk as well. So we salute you, all right? But happy holidays to you all. It is Christmas week. Christmas week is here, and Christmas is near. It's a great time of the year. Again, it is a different time of the year. It's going to be very different for me because, you know, I'm probably going to just, you know, do what I can to make sure that I'm not putting anybody at risk of getting sick, especially the elder members of my family. And I'll probably be spending Christmas at my apartment alone for the first time ever in my 30 years of life, which will be a bit weird, right? Just being at home. I did the same thing on Thanksgiving. That was my first solo Thanksgiving. So my mom, you know, I'm usually down in Florida visiting my mom, my stepdad, and my sisters. And, you know, they're hitting me up like, hell, are you going to come? And I'm like, no, I don't know about this year. You know, mom is trying to be very, very convincing right now, but I just don't want to risk it. You know, but some people are still traveling and getting on airplanes. And I just, you know, I pray that you guys are just still safe, you know, as safe as possible, you know, travel safely, social distance, and do what you can. I just don't think I want to take that risk right now. but folks, let's get to some sports, shall we? Because we got a lot to get to on today's Current Sports. On the back end of the show, we are going to talk about Well, no, we're not going to talk about it. You're going to hear from Tom Izzo. You're going to hear from the head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, Tom Izzo, after what happened yesterday on the road as Michigan State basketball, one of the best teams in the nation, fell and fell quite hard against Northwestern. Northwestern pulling off an improbable upset. And there were multiple things that went wrong for Michigan State yesterday. But, you know, in the area of one aspect, you know, Michigan State totally could have controlled that, and they didn't, and they ended up losing. So Tom Izzo was not a very happy man last night as us media members fired some questions at him after that loss on the road. So you'll get a chance to hear from Tom later on this hour. But in just a moment, you're going to get my thoughts on that loss for Michigan State against the Wildcats. And also, you're going to get my thoughts on the end of the year for Michigan State football. I mean, you know, MSU football will not be playing in a bowl game. I'll have that story for you in just a moment in our headliners. But that means that the season is over, and Mel Tucker is totally looking toward the future now and is preparing his football team for 2021. And we'll just take a brief look at Michigan State football. There are some other stories surrounding the program concerning a transfer. Two stories concerning the transfer portal, as Michigan State has dipped into the transfer market multiple times after finishing the year. And they have landed someone to help the offense, and they also lose a name to the transfer portal. So I'll bring those stories to you as well, and I'll briefly touch on what was yesterday's Detroit Lions loss to the Tennessee Titans, as Matthew Stafford, say what you will about that man, he constantly puts his body on the line for this franchise. You cannot question his toughness. He was out there after being listed as questionable to play in that game. We all thought that Chase Daniels was going to be the guy on Sunday, but Matthew Stafford said, look, if I can walk, if I can run, I am going to be out there. I have an obligation to be out there. So I respect that so, so much, all right? So all of that and more, if you would like to vent or chime in on anything, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can call, leave us a voicemail there. You can also weigh in courtesy of social media. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You can tweet the show at WKAR News. And you can leave us a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. But you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, let's dive right into it. As I just mentioned, the Michigan State men's basketball team fell behind by 13 points at halftime and could not recover, falling to Northwestern 79-65 in the Big Ten Conference opener for both teams last night at Welsh Ryan Arena. Junior forward Aaron Henry, he led the Spartans with 11 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. Sophomore forward Malik Hall, he had 10 points, 9 boards, and 3 assists. And junior forward Gabe Brown, he chipped in 10 points and 5 rebounds. But, you know, this was a game that Michigan State, they weren't really competitive from the jump. And Northwestern honestly dominated this game from the very start. Northwestern sophomore guard Boo Booey was fantastic. If you remember last year as a freshman, he was also fantastic. He had 20-plus points in that game. And then last night, he chips in 30 points. That is a career high for the sophomore guard for Northwestern. So this is Michigan State's first loss to Northwestern since 2012. And the Spartans had won the last 12 meetings between the teams. And actually, This also, seeing as though Michigan State was ranked number 4 in the nation, this was the first win for the Wildcats over a top 5 ranked team since 1979, folks. 1979, and you know who Northwestern beat? You know who that top 5 team was back in 1979? You guessed it. It was Michigan State again. Are you kidding me? So the two top 5 wins that they have gotten on the hardwood have both come against Michigan State back in 1979 and now here in 2020. And if you remember, that was, Magic Johnson was pushing the ball up for Michigan State back then in the late 70s. So pretty wild stuff. All right, Michigan State returns home to the Breslin for its Big Ten opener and will be hosting Wisconsin on Christmas Day. Tip off on Fox, 12:30 p.m. So you got some Christmas Day afternoon basketball come this Thursday, and that's awesome stuff. You can just open your presents, right, and then just plop right in front of the television with some eggnog next to the Christmas tree and your loved ones. That's awesome stuff. That's what I'll be doing, at least. All right, an early 16-0 first quarter run placed the Michigan State women's basketball team past Northern Illinois. 82-70, the final one Sunday afternoon at the Breslin Center. The Spartans were able to hold off a resilient Husky squad to earn the win as they improved to 6-0 for the first time since the 2012-2013 team that started the season 8-0. Michigan State won its second straight game against a Mid-American Conference opponent after Friday's win over Central Michigan. That was a 79-70 win over the Chips. Junior guard Nia Clouden, she fell just shy of her fourth 20-point game with 18 points, 7 assists, and 6 boards. She also had 3 steals, contributing half of the Spartan steps. Junior guard Tori Osmond added a season-high 12 points with a career-high 7 assists in the win as well. So shout-out to Susie Merchant and the Michigan State women's basketball team, absolutely rolling right now. And the Spartans will close out non-conference action against Oakland tomorrow at noon. Michigan State's game against Big Ten opponent Ohio State on December 31st, New Year's Eve, that has been postponed right now due to the Buckeyes pausing basketball activities in light of COVID-19. All right, so next game for Michigan State women's basketball, again, tomorrow afternoon against Oakland. And, you know, speaking of COVID-19, you know, pausing activities and canceling activities, earlier last week, Michigan State Mel Tucker, he said, Michigan State football coach Mel Tucker, he said that he'd love for his team to play in a bowl game. But now that dialogue has shifted. On Sunday, Tucker and the Spartans confirmed that they would not accept a bowl bid, effectively ending their season after winning 2 of 7 games in Tucker's first year leading the program. So he didn't really simply come out and say this is because of COVID, but, you know, this has a this is a big reason why, right? Because COVID has come out and just, goodness, it's had such a profound effect on the sporting world. And you know, Michigan State's 2 games against Maryland got canceled because of COVID-19 issues in the Terrapins program. And, you know, that was just so wild. It's just been a wild, wild year. So the NCAA, because of COVID, they waived win total minimums as a bowl eligibility requirement this season. Because if you remember, I mean, if you hit six wins for the year, that guaranteed that you would play in some kind of bowl. But, you know, a lot of conferences didn't get to 6 wins or 6 games, I should say, at least 6 games. It just threw a monkey wrench in everything. I mean, Ohio State, who won the Big Ten championship against Northwestern on Saturday, they only had 5 games in the chamber prior to playing Northwestern. But the Big Ten waived that and said Ohio State deserves to be in that game, so they played it. And, yeah, they did deserve to be in that game because they did beat Northwestern. So, hey, it is what it is. So the NCAA, they waived the total minimums as a bowl eligibility requirement. They waived win total minimums. And other teams around the country have also decided to shut things down. Programs like Penn State, Minnesota, Nebraska, Rutgers. So Michigan State has now decided to follow a similar path, and we'll just look forward to next season, all right? Okay, and also more MSU football news as Rocky Lombardi is leaving Michigan State football. The junior quarterback who started the Spartans' first six games of the year, he has confirmed that he plans to enter the transfer portal. His name was officially entered into the portal shortly after confirming things to the team and his teammates. Lombardi is the fourth MSU player to enter the portal and the ninth to do so since Coach Mel Tucker took over back in February. Lombardi leaves after starting nine games in his four seasons, including three in 2018. So Rocky Lombardi gone. Michigan State football landed an offensive tackle on Saturday from the transfer portal. Jared Horst, who is a Wisconsin native, he is transferring from Arkansas State to Michigan State. He put that tweet out on Saturday confirming things. He was a 2020 preseason All-Sun Belt pick. The Spartans have dipped into the transfer portal market multiple times after his team in Mel Tucker finished 2-5 in its first season under Coach Tuck. Auburn running back Harold Joyner III and Temple quarterback Anthony Russo have joined the team among a slew of defections. Those are big gets as well. I really like looking at Horst, looking at Joyner, Anthony Russo. These are big gets. Tucker said MSU would be open to playing the bowl game, but again, not going to happen. Looking forward toward next year. All right, MSU hockey. The Michigan State Spartans were down in South Bend on the ice over the weekend to take on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish before taking a holiday break. Managed to split the weekend with overtime wins by each team in the games. Notre Dame got the shootout win after tying it up in regulation on Saturday, while MSU got the 3-on-3 OT win on Sunday after managing to tie it up in regulation. Michigan State currently stands in sixth place in the conference standings, and they will return to action back in, looking forward, I should say, to 2021. So next year, January 3rd, is when you will see Michigan State hockey back on the ice, hosting Penn State at Munn Ice Arena. The Detroit Lions have fired special teams coordinator Braden Combs with two games remaining in the regular season. A move described by a source within the franchise is being made because of a cultural clash with what the organization is trying to build. The final decision was made today, a day after the team called a fake punt in the fourth quarter, one that CJ Moore was just short of converting. That play, sources say, was called without knowledge of anyone else, including coaches and some players on the field at the time. Are you kidding me? Yeah, the fake punt was the final straw in a decision that has been potentially brewing for a while. Combs executed the fake punt without going through the proper channels. Special teams assistant Marquise Williams, he will take over for Combs as the coordinator for the final two games of the year. And Lions interim head coach Daryl Bevel is expected to speak with the media later today during his regularly scheduled news conference. The Lions fell to the Tennessee Titans yesterday, 46-25, and will next play host to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers come this Saturday afternoon. The GOAT will be in town, Tom Brady. So we'll see what happens in that game. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways you can weigh in if you choose to do so. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number that you can call. You can also weigh in on social media. You can tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Tweet the show at WKAR News. And you can leave us a comment anywhere on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. When we come back from this first break, I'll give you my thoughts on Michigan State deciding to end the year and not play in a bowl game And I'll elaborate more on that Michigan State men's basketball shocking loss at the hands of the Northwestern Wildcats last night on the road. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and just before we roll in last night's Michigan State men's basketball press conference, because I want you to hear what Tom Izzo had to say, when trying to figure out what went wrong for his team last night on the road against the Wildcats, because again, that was a game, that was a loss of historic proportions. If you didn't hear what I said when addressing that game at the top of the hour, Northwestern, that was Northwestern's first win over a top five ranked opponent since 1979, when they beat Michigan State, same program, when Magic Johnson was leading the team back in the late 70s. So it's been a long, long time since Northwestern has beaten a top five ranked opponent, and they were able to do so last night in convincing fashion. But before you hear from Tom Izzo, I do just want to touch upon a few stories that were in our headliners. Michigan State deciding not to play in a bowl. You know, I totally agree with it. Why? You know, Mel Tucker right now, looking at, you know, that first season and what was a very wild year, you know, considering when he was hired. You know, speaking of signing day, you know, he was hired the week after signing day. The way COVID has impacted this year, you know, not knowing if there would even be a season, practice and you know, scheduling for practice up in the air, so much going on with COVID, you know, and hey, you went out your first year and you beat rival Michigan, the first MSU coach to do that in his first season since Nick Saban did so back in the 90s. You beat a top 15 ranked team in Northwestern. So you get two improbable victories. You've kind of figured out, you know, your quarterback situation to a degree in Peyton Thorne, but, you know, that's going to be an open competition now, especially that you have the transfer in Anthony Russo coming to the program, but he probably will have to sit out a year, right? But still, I mean, you know, it's pretty remarkable, in my view, what Michigan State football was able to do this season, considering everything that they had to deal with. You know, so much adversity. I mean, there were many, many people, many Spartan fans that I talked to and that called into this show that said it would be a miracle if Mel Tucker was able to find one win out this bunch. And he was able to find two in which he was a tremendous underdog, in which Michigan State football was not expected to even compete. So pretty remarkable stuff. But, you know, why play one more bowl game when you can just turn your attention, you know, to recruiting and trying to figure out next season? Good year, but, you know, it's not needed. And you look at other programs like, you know, Penn State, Minnesota, Nebraska, Rutgers, other programs within the Big Ten who have decided not to participate in a bowl game. It's the right decision. And Michigan, you know, the COVID-19 situation there, I'm very curious, and we'll be talking about this topic more throughout the week. I'm very curious to see what Michigan and head coach Jim Harbaugh decide to do moving forward. Will they give him an extension, or will they not and say it is time to part ways and move on? That is the big question. And then Rocky Lombardi entering the transfer portal. I mean, why stick around, right? I don't see anything wrong with this move. At the end of the day, I'm always going to side with the college athlete from this perspective. Look, you're not getting paid at all. At the end of the day, it's about putting yourself in the best position for you that would make sense as far as getting some highlights out there to improve your opportunity, to improve your chances of making your dream of competing in the NFL come true. Simple as that. So if you feel like your situation does not equate to those opportunities to put yourself in the best position to play pro football one day, then hey, chuck the deuces. Move on. Life is about change, right? See what else is out there. Because the way the season ended for Rocky Lombardi, all signs point to him not being the starting quarterback next season for Michigan State football. Peyton Thorne came in. He was a bit rocky, no pun intended. He was a bit rocky at certain points this year. But the offense seemed to move more fluid, you know, at a better pace when Peyton Thorne was in. And we saw that after looking at, you know, that Ohio State game and evaluating things. I mean, Rocky Lombardi could not move the ball for the Michigan State offense. I mean, how healthy was his arm? We don't know. But he just one thing is for certain, not even talking about how healthy his arm was, when it was healthy at the beginning of the year, I mean, Rocky had moments, but he wasn't consistently accurate. And that is a problem if you are going to be the starting quarterback for a Division I football program. Rocky had some big throws downfield, but I'm talking about the 10, you know, 5-yard dump off. I mean, he would overthrow guys or misread the route. Peyton came in and was able to do some things with his arm that Rocky just couldn't. So I think going into next year, he would be the leading guy to be the starting quarterback for this team. And, you know, Rocky's looking at that and saying, yeah, let me go somewhere where I have a better chance at starting. So I don't knock that whatsoever. Rocky, go out and do your thing. And, you know, he had some really nice moments when he was a player at Michigan State. You know, I still think back to that Purdue game when Brian Lewerke went out and Rocky came in, and we thought we saw the quarterback of Michigan State's future, right? When Rocky came in that game and fans were chanting, Rocky, Rocky, from the stands. Oh, boy, what a moment. All right, and then the work, speaking of the transfer portal, the work that Michigan State football is doing in the transfer portal, you know, it's pretty impressive. You know, Harold Joyner from Auburn, the running back, very good player. I mean, anytime you're coming from a program like Auburn, you're solid. Very, very good player. And also Temple quarterback Anthony Russo. Mel Tucker wants to spice things up and get his guys in there, especially at the quarterback position, guys that he can, you know, that he feels can really take Michigan State to another level. I love that move. And then Jared Horst on Saturday, landing him, you know, this offensive tackle, very, very impressive player. You know, he was 2020 preseason all Sun Belt. I mean, I love that. So, and you know, I was talking with my coworker this morning, and he said, Al, what do you think of Michigan State football this year? I mean, how would you, you know, we've been talking about this the last 2 weeks now, grading MSU football this season. And I said, look, the fact that Mel Tucker, with all of those circumstances I laid out just a minute ago, was able to come in and beat Northwestern and Michigan, impressive stuff. And for me, I can't start grading wins and losses for Coach Tucker until year three. I always say year three is the measuring stick, because at that point, you have been able to now implement your system for the most part, and you've been able to get your players in there. Let's see what your team looks like, because this is still a D'Antonio team that we're looking at. But by year three, you'll be able to now implement your guys in certain positions for the most part on that roster. Let's see what happens. Go time. Game time. So I think that Mel winning those two games in his first year, in a pandemic year, those two wins, very, very, very impressive stuff. All right? Okay, let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on Michigan State men's basketball falling to Northwestern on the road last night, and you'll hear from Coach Tom Izzo. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and as we come up here on segment C, the final segment of the show, I just want to give you my brief thoughts on Michigan State's loss last night at the hands of Northwestern, and you'll hear from Tom Izzo after I give those thoughts, and you'll hear what he had to say when trying to figure out why that loss happened against the Wildcats. So I want to say this. Looking at that game, first off, let's give a lot of credit to Northwestern. This is a team that is going to shock many, I think, this season. Michigan State, from the very jump, weren't really in that game. They just weren't. I mean, from the very get-go, this was a game that was dominated by Chris Collins' team in the Northwestern Wildcats. And when you look deeper, though, Michigan State, what was so irritating, and you heard this many times throughout the post-game press conference, Tom Izzo addressing this and saying it over and over and over, the E word. The dreaded E word that you should never, ever use as an excuse as to why you lost. And if you do use that E word, it means you really got some problems that you got to figure out ASAP. And you got to have some talks with some players, some honest talks with some players. But that E word being effort. I don't care what happens throughout the course of a game. That is the one thing that you can control, effort. And Tom Izzo, let it be known loud and clear that, not to take anything away from Northwestern, but that game last night had a lot to do with Michigan State not giving the effort. And that's troubling. That is very, very troubling. You know, and you'll hear from Izzo in just a moment, but he called it one of the more inept performances of his 26 years. Yeah. And, you know, I look at the defense for Michigan State. That was probably, for me, the most disappointing thing. Because, again, defense is all about effort at the end of the day. And looking at how easily Northwestern was able to, you know, either, you know, go up in the paint and score an easy layup or a dunk or get, like, you know, wide open shots on the perimeter. I mean, Michigan State just looked like they were just kind of going through the motions. You know, giving guys wide open shots, leaving the lane wide open. It was very surprising. I will say that. And I don't know. I mean, you look at how Michigan State has had some close games recently and some bad first half performances against teams like, you know, Oakland. No knock against Oakland, but they have had they've had some close outcomes against teams that they are clearly superior in comparison to. And Michigan State shooting the ball horribly, though, yesterday. I mean, that was also a big thing. I mean, you'll struggle any night in the Big Ten if you hit just 6 of 25 three-pointers. I mean, that was bad. And then, you know, you can't keep players out the lane. You're not protecting the rim at all. And we did see that against teams like Detroit, Western Michigan, and Oakland. So that has been a trend that you can look at and say, all right. And again, I always say it wins against those kind of teams that you are favored highly, highly against. You have to look at it from a different lens because those things are amplified once you enter Big Ten play. Once you start to play basketball in the best conference, in my opinion, in college basketball. So that can't happen. And then, you know, looking at Boo Booey, 30 points on 15 shots, hit 5 of 6 threes. Michigan State didn't make Boo Booey uncomfortable at all. I could see if he was hitting, like, miraculous shots against, you know, over guys. But he had some wide-open looks, wide-open, you know, penetration to the lane. I mean, you got to frustrate him a bit. Period. And, you know, the lineups right now for Michigan State, that's still a flowing situation right now. I don't know. You know, and then Rocket Watts being non-existent. I mean, Rocket Watts was just, you know, on the side of a milk carton last night. You know, I was really looking forward to seeing, you know, Rocket Watts and Boo Booey go at it. But Rocket Watts, excuse me, he was absolutely non-existent. And for Michigan State, you know, looking at Michigan State now, Rocket Watts is going to have to figure out that balance between being a scorer, being aggressive, and being a facilitator. But last night, he wasn't aggressive at all. I don't know what it was. I don't know what was going on with Rocket Watts, but that was not the same player that we saw prior to that game, had been seeing prior to that game. He had just 5 points. 5 points. 2 of 11 from the floor. 1 of 5 from deep. That's not going to get the job done. So I'm going to stop my riff right now, and I'll elaborate more on it during tomorrow's show, but I want you to hear what Coach Izzo had to say after that loss. Here is the head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team moments after Michigan State's loss to the Wildcats last night.
Disappointed, to be honest with you, confused. And one of the more inept performances of my 26 years. It's kind of a harsh statement. I'm blaming myself. I'm the one that has to have my team ready. Thought we practiced good. I didn't think we were ready from the opening second. There were some things we didn't cover, plays that we had worked on for 3 days. And I feel sorry for DJ, the hell of a job in a scouting report. And I don't know. I guess that's what happens when I don't think anybody's reading their press clippings, but I don't know. I mean, it was consistent, too. My 3-4 best players all struggled. And you got to give them credit, though. I don't want to not give them credit because Chris did a hell of a job. I mean, they were better coached. They played harder. There was a sense of purpose. We had board behind me, there were two words on the keys. Never relaxed. Play with a sense of urgency. I think most of you that have been around me for a lot of years would say that was neither one of them. Is that kind of the things we're going to have to go through here where you know, things happen and it's going to be some ups and downs maybe, but I didn't like the way we responded and that was disappointing. So I take the blame. I'm going to have to do something about it, but that was one of the most disappointing. Then it sounds like I'm not giving them credit. So I'm saying the way we played compared to the scouting report we had. Missing shots, that's okay. We took some bad shots. That's not okay, but I can live with that. But not guarding anybody, not rebound, fouling. I mean, 53%, 47% from the three. That was ridiculous.
Our first question goes to Chris Solari.
Hey, Tom. You mentioned the sense of urgency and that. I mean, was there a point early on that you felt like you were settling maybe for some shots outside and not attacking as much?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. But the sense of urgency happened in the first 20 seconds when we were on defense. Just had some guys that messed up some coverages that we had gone over and over and over. And that means I didn't do a good enough job going over them because they were the simplest of things. And EJ and I are sitting there from second one. So you want to look at the offense. I don't blame you. There were some bad shots. We weren't in attack mode. We're throwing up shots like we were afraid. That's what I was disappointed in. But it started the first 30 seconds. Not before that. Guys were good in the hotel, good in the locker room. But that was disgusting.
Did you feel like they were able, or were there any corrections that they were able to make throughout the course of the game on those defensive coverages?
I didn't think we did. I did not think we did, and that was disappointing, too. I mean, I don't have a better kid than Josh Langford, but I mean, he goes out there at the end, and we cut it to 10, and he got four fouls, and he sticks his arm and fouls a guy 35 feet from the basket, you know? It was just that kind of deal, and Joey, Rocket, Josh, and Aaron, and they all struggled on some things, and I didn't do a good enough job either. So let's make sure that we throw me in that.
Next question, we'll go to Matt Charbonneau.
Tom, when Josh comes out, first thing he tells us is that the team didn't come ready to play tonight. How disappointing is it to hear that? A guy from Josh will certainly know that, but you've already talked about it. But how disappointing is that hearing him say that?
Well, really, you know, that is my job. I mean, players got to get themselves ready. But a coach, you know, like I said, I've been a little softer myself this year, you know, and because you kind of deal with things and, you know, it's time to take the gloves off because now we got no school. We can go to work. Yeah, that's not good to hear. But that's the coach's fault. The coach got to get them ready to play. Coach got to have the scouting report in. They've got to make shots. That's not a problem. That wasn't the reason we lost the game. It helped, but we still came back a couple times and we just didn't guard anybody the way we had gone over it.
Just real quick, too, I know Joey banged his knee there. He came back. I assume that's not a big deal at this point, maybe something minor.
I don't know. To be honest with you, I haven't talked to the trainer. I haven't talked to Joey. I didn't see a lot different performance at the beginning as I saw at the end. So maybe it's similar. Maybe there's nothing wrong. Maybe there's something wrong. It was sore at one point. He said he wanted to play, so we gave him a chance. I didn't see him worse. I didn't see him necessarily any better. It was just one of those nights.
Next question will go to Kyle Austin.
Tom, you mentioned that first possession on defense. Wondering if it was mostly mental mistakes you saw tonight as the game went on, or were there effort-related issues? What was going on defense?
I thought it was physical. I thought it was effort-related. I thought it was, you know, it just didn't seem like we were we were in sync at all. It just seemed like we were three steps behind. As you guys said, you know, we weren't penetrating our fast break. Instead of coming on these diagonals that we do, we just kind of head right up and took some bad shots there. Rocket has been improving so much, and it was kind of a setback for everybody, you know, the four key players and the coach. So we'll all take some blame for it, and you know, that's all I can do. I got to watch the film, but I think when I watch the film, it's going to be one time, you know. Usually I come into a press conference and I say, we didn't do this, didn't do this, and watch the film and say, well, we weren't that bad. Whatever I say to you, and I'm trying to minimize what I say, when I watch the film, I bet you my life is going to be worse.
Next question, we'll go to Justin Rose.
Hey, Tom, just going off of that effort thing. I mean, I know that you guys had a long laugh, and I know you won't use that as an excuse for that. But did you have any inkling that that was coming with this particular group, knowing that they'd gone through the first couple of weeks of the season the way they had?
I really didn't. You know, there's a lot of things that are happening right now. You know, it was an interesting day. You know, we had to get up early because this was the first time we had to get tested on the road. Took some time. We had finals. But I gave them a couple days off, too. And we didn't play this week, which I was hoping we would have. But Gonzaga didn't play and won, you know, we're up 20. So they didn't play for 12 days or whatever it was. So I'm not in a mood to make any excuses for me. It's my job to get my team ready. They weren't ready. And after I watch the film, I'm going to try to determine why. But it was not one guy or two guys. Kind of disappoints me that as soon as things got wrong, there seemed to be a lot more excuses. So we're going to have to work on that. That usually happens if you're reading your press clippings or you think you're better than you are. Listen, guys, I told you there's two great teams right now. There's 20 teams that are 30 teams that are anywhere in there. I've said that from day one. You know, we're not the fourth best team in the country necessarily. And we could be there because somebody's got to be there. But I think what we looked at is beating Duke and probably everybody, you know, their girlfriends, their parents, everybody thought it was a big deal. I didn't. I hope my program's better than that. And I got a lot of respect for Duke. But, you know, was it finals? Was it the press clippings? You know, we worked pretty hard, though. I got to admit, when we did work, guys were focused in. I mean, if I took every play and broke it down to how we were supposed to guard it and what we did, it's mind-boggling. So I'm just going to look at it as, you know, it's going to be a learning moment. But leadership is going to be interesting to see how we all, my three captains and me, work this out.
Just to quickly follow up with that, you know, you've had games where you guys have had off nights before, but this seemed to be different than that in a way. I mean, how do you decipher between just a bad game, you know, bad situational basketball, and what we saw tonight?
Yeah. You know, I would say that don't feel bad. I'm a pretty much tell it like it is guy, so you don't have to apologize for saying we look inept. We didn't look like we were aggressive. We didn't look like we had a sense of urgency, and we looked like we were too relaxed. So it's okay to say that. I mean, it's, as I said, you know, I'm going to have to learn too. We're going to have, I think everybody's going to have some games. It's not an excuse. It's just a different year. Like I said, it started this morning and it was different, you know, come over here half hour early and have, you know, 20 minutes of testing but everybody else got to do the same thing. So it's the same for everybody. We just got to figure out, you know, how to handle it. You know, I don't know. Finals, God, we just come off the best semester, maybe in the history of my head coaching deal. So it wasn't like that was all stressful. They got it done. But it's a little challenging right now for me because I'd agree with you. Yeah, politely, you're saying we didn't look at all like a Michigan State basketball team. Forget the shooting. Forget it. Has no bearing on this performance. And then when you think about when it started, I told you, and I'm sure if you talk to Josh, I don't know what he said, but it was the first 30 seconds and it didn't change. That's not like one of my teams. So I got to chalk it up. I got to look at the film. I got to meet with players. I got to see what I can do. Get it straightened out. Got a good team. It's got some holes. Joey Hauser was hurt. That hurt us a little bit. Josh Langford was in foul trouble the whole game. And I had a couple guys that were, you know, had bad games. And probably me as a coach had a bad game. Next.
All right, folks, I'll have further thoughts on what Coach Izzo had to say during tomorrow's current sports, the Tuesday edition of the show. But until then, we are now on a 23-hour break. I want you all to continue to be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.